The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Katie Neuhauser for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Religion in the News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Religion News Service. The article that I'm going to be reading today may take the entire half hour. It's called Faith Leaders Who Died in 2025. And I figured by the end of the month, we should go ahead and look back before we move into February at who we lost in 2025. This article is by Adele M. Banks. Figures from the realms of politics to sports, from presiding over the Vatican to Temple Square, are among those who died in 2025 and will be remembered for shaping the world of faith. They include a millennial influencer who reached vast audiences on social media and college campuses, while others wrote dozens of books or reached millions via radio and TV stations. Others used their pulpits to preach the gospel or advocated for the environment, election fairness, or justice within and beyond their denominations. Here we recall some of the religious leaders who died this year. The first is Pope Francis. The former Archbishop of Buenos Aires, who became the worldwide leader of the Roman Catholic Church in 2013, died on April 21st at age 88. The day before, he surprised faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for Easter Sunday. Francis, a charismatic reformer, was a leader of many firsts, including becoming the first Latin American pope and the first Jesuit pontiff. Known for his humility, he chose to wear simple clothing and jewelry. Francis was an advocate for peace in war-torn countries and for interfaith engagements that fostered aid for the environment and for the poor. He made significant structural and economic reforms in the Vatican and selected new cardinals that led to the most diverse college of cardinals in the Church's history. He sought to restore the Church's credibility after the Boston Globe's 2002 Spotlight investigation showed numerous cases of sexual abuse by U.S. clergy. But the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors he created at the Vatican was impeded by political wrangling. Francis also worked to reduce the often preferential treatment of priests over lay people in the Church. The Synod on Synodality, a three-year process that ended in 2024, aimed to include the views of Catholics across the globe in hopes of adding their perspectives to the Church's decision-making. He retained Church teaching on abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, and female priesthood. Among the few changes he made, one opened the door for divorced and remarried Catholics to receive the Eucharist, and another added the Church's opposition to the death penalty to its catechism. Yet, pastorally, he stood out for including women in leadership in Vatican departments, welcoming encounters with gay couples, and inviting trans-sex workers to Vatican events. "Who am I to judge?" he famously said early in his pontificate, a reference to gay people. The next person who passed away last year was Russell M. Nelson. He was the oldest president in the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he died on September 27th at age 101. In his first year as president in 2018, the former heart surgeon sought to transform the way his religious group was addressed, the Associated Press reported, using its full name rather than the shorter Mormon or LDS substitutes that had been used for decades. The following year, he rescinded 2015 rules that regarded same-sex couples as sinners who could be expelled and that forbade baptisms of children whose parents were gay. Yet, his administration maintained the church's opposition to same-sex marriage and tightened policies that restricted participation of members who changed their names, dress, or pronouns, or sought gender-affirming surgeries, the AP said. During his seven-year presidency, he announced 200 temples across the globe and permitted women and girls to officially witness church ordinances, such as temple sealings and baptisms. He also fostered diversity and improved race relations. He named a Brazilian and a Chinese American to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the church's second highest leadership body, becoming the first two men in the body who were not white Americans. And he also led the church as it began an initiative with NAACP in 2018, where leaders of the church and the civil rights organization called for greater civility, racial and ethnic harmony, and mutual respect. Nelson also led the church to part ways with the Boy Scouts of America, which had started accepting LGBTQ plus young people and adult volunteer leaders. The Mormon Church developed its own program for youth in North America and beyond. A 2022 investigation by AP found that the LDS hotline for reporting sexual abuse could cause victims to remain in danger because leaders could share accusations with church attorneys instead of law enforcement. Nelson and other leaders responded that the hotline has everything to do with protecting children and has nothing to do with cover-up. The next person listed as those we lost, Charlie Kirk. The evangelical Christian activist who urged young Americans to support President Donald Trump and his MAGA cause died September 10th at age 31. Kirk, who was shot to death while speaking on the campus of Utah Valley University in Orem, was the host of the streaming Charlie Kirk Show and a founder of two conservative organizations, Turning Point USA, which seeks to educate young people about the importance of fiscal responsibility, free markets, and freedom, and Turning Point Faith, where he more recently spoke openly about his faith and rallied Christian leaders back to Trump's causes. Turning Point USA, which he confounded with Tea Party conservative William Montgomery in 2012, grew quickly, forming 800 chapters on high school and college campuses within 3 years. In 2019, Kirk joined Jerry Falwell Jr., then president of Liberty University, to launch the Falkirk Center, a liberty-based think tank to protect Judeo-Christian beliefs. In 2021, Kirk departed after Falwell was the subject of scandal. The center has since been renamed the Standing for Freedom Center. Kirk became a social media personality, advocating for conservative positions and regularly attracting millions of viewers to videos depicting him debating the validity of spiritual or political beliefs. His supporters praised him for engaging people who disagreed with his stances, but his critics included some black pastors who objected to his statements that denigrated black people, immigrants, Muslims, women, and LGBTQ plus people. In early 2025, in an early 2025 video, Kirk talked about taking a Jewish Sabbath every week, turning off his phone from Friday night to Saturday night. "I'm not saying that's something you have to do," he said. "I'm saying it will make your life better. It was important enough that God put it as one of the Ten Commandments." Our next person is Jennifer Lyle, the editor and author who reached high ranks of Christian publishing before her career was sidelined after she accused a former Southern Baptist leader of abuse, died on June 7th at 47 years of age. She worked on New York Times bestseller. She worked on New York Times bestseller books while serving as vice president at Lifeway, the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, the country's largest Protestant denomination. While studying at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2004, where she earned a Master of Divinity degree, Lyle, then 26, met David Sills, a professor in his late 40s, who became a surrogate father figure and mentor. In 2018, Lyle told her supervisors that Sills allegedly used force and his spiritual influence to coerce Hu into non-consensual sexual acts over a period of a dozen years. Sills admitted to misconduct and resigned from his leadership of a nonprofit, as well as his seminary position, with no details made public. But when Lyle made her allegations public the next year after Sills took a job at another Christian ministry, a Baptist press article said Lyle had a morally inappropriate relationship rather than depicting her claims as abuse. Though the publication later apologized and retracted the statement, Lyle was hit with hate messages and churches and pastors called for her firing. Amid the turmoil, Lyle quit her job. She found another career after attending law school. Although she was sued by Sills, Lyle never backed down from her account. Earlier in 2025, she detailed the abuse allegations in a deposition, noting how the Bible had been used for years to keep her quiet. "I do not need to be under oath to tell the truth, and there are no lies that will shake my certainty of what is true," she said in a social media post when the suit was filed. The next person listed as passing in 2025 was the prominent philanthropist and global spiritual leader of millions of Ismaili Muslims, whose name was Aga Khan IV. Who passed away on February 4th at age 88. The Aga Khan IV became the leader of the religious community at age 20, the Associated Press reported. He was selected by his grandfather as the successor to direct the Ismaili Muslim sect, favoring him over his playboy father and choosing the younger man who had been brought up in the midst of the New Age. He was considered a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad and led the Shiite sect that initially had India as its center but spread to East Africa, the Middle East, and South and Central Asia. The Aga Khan was given his title in a 1957 ceremony in Tanzania. A year and a half later, he returned to Harvard University to complete his undergraduate degree after spending time at the site of his then-ailing grandfather. Focusing on philanthropy instead of politics, the Aga Khan led the Aga Khan Development Network that addressed housing, education, healthcare, and rural economic development, the AP said. Though he considered it inaccurate to be described as a philanthropist, he is thought to have put billions of dollars into nonprofit development projects in dozens of countries. What is not understood is that this work is for us a part of our institutional responsibility. It flows from the mandate of the Office of Imam to improve the quality of worldly life for the concerned communities, he said in a 2006 award acceptance speech for Germany's Tutzig Evangelical Academy. The Aga Khan was also known for owning and breeding horses and represented Iran in the 1964 Winter Olympics as a skier. Our next person who passed, Rabbi Arthur Waskow. The social justice activist, regarded as the forefather of post-war U.S. Jewish progressivism, died October 20th at age 92. Waskow was the leader of Philadelphia's Shalom Center since 1983 and a progressive voice on late 20th century causes, including nuclear disarmament, environmental justice, and civil rights. Never working as a pulpit rabbi, he gained a reputation as a radical in the forefront of justice and equality movements. He was a founding member of Jews for Urban Justice, which became a partner in the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s Poor People's Campaign. One of the Jewish group's most visible social actions was to protest on the eve of Yom Kippur, a Washington synagogue that included congregants who would not rent real estate to black people. Waskow was perhaps best known for writing the Freedom Seder, a new Haggadah for Passover, which reinterpreted the Exodus story of the Israelites' liberation from Egyptian slavery using traditional liturgy alongside texts by King Mahatma Gandhi, Henry David Thoreau, and others. Ordained at age 62 by Zalman Zachter Shalomi, the founder of the Jewish Renewal Movement, and three other rabbis, Waskal was not tied to a single denomination. He taught at the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College near Philadelphia, at a Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, a Reform Movement seminary, where he taught what is considered the first Eco-Judaism course. The next dissident listed is Bill McCartney, the football coach who went on to found the Promise Keepers, an evangelical Christian men's movement that brought tens of thousands of men to the National Mall in the 1990s, died on January 10th at age 84. The organization grew from a relatively small group of participants in the early 1990s to a crowd of 4,000 at a University of Colorado arena where McCartney coached football. Within a few years, tens of thousands worshiped together in stadiums and arenas. And in 1997, the movement held its Stand in the Gap rally on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. McCartney and his movement, driven by a concern that American men had lost faith in God and caused their families to suffer, sparked tensions about gender roles, particularly in religious circles, and the place of faith in civic life. "A real man, a man's man, is a godly man," McCartney said in a 1995 press conference before a packed-out event in Washington, D.C. The Washington Post reported, "A real man is a man of substance, a man that's valuable, a man who loves his wife, a man that has passion for God, and is willing to lay down his life for him," said McCartney. Promise Keepers promoted racial reconciliation, which it connected to religious revival, but that focus proved to be less popular than the emphasis on being good husbands and fathers. As the movement shifted to smaller events, it had financial challenges and laid off staffers. It has sought to reinvent itself several times, including with a turn toward partisanship, but never regained its earlier level of influence. Known as Coach Mac, McCartney remains the coach with the most wins in Colorado history, a record of 93, 55, and 5, and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Next, we have Martin E. Marty, the renowned church historian and prolific author who long interpreted religion and public life, died February 25, 2025, at age 97. His book, Righteous Empire, The Protestant Experience in America, earned Marty, who taught at the University of Chicago Divinity School for 35 years, 1972 National Book Awards in Philosophy and Religion. In the next decade, he published the first of three volumes about American religion in the 20th century. In it, he cast fundamentalism as a reaction to modernity and secularism, and not to liberal religion. With religion scholar R. Scott Appleby, Marty examined fundamentalism in seven global faiths for the modern American religion and the Fundamentalism Project. The work resulted in books, radio episodes, and documentary films featured on National Public Radio and PBS. He served more than five decades as an editor and columnist of the Christian Century magazine. For almost as long, he produced Context, a biweekly newsletter. Prior to joining the faculty at the Chicago Divinity School, Marty was ordained in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and served in Chicago area churches, including the Lutheran Church of the Holy Spirit in Elk Grove Village, a congregation he founded. Although known for his academic contributions, Marty also participated in interreligious and civil rights activities, serving in 1964 as a Protestant observer during the Second Vatican Council and marching with the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama, the next year. Next listed is the Reverend Joan Brown Campbell, the first ordained woman to lead the National Council of Churches and the U.S. Office of the World Council of Churches, died March 29th in 2025 at age 93. She also was the director of religion at the Chautauqua Institution, an intellectual and arts-focused summer retreat center in southwestern New York, where she fostered ecumenism and interfaith relations. Campbell worked with an array of prominent leaders, often across religious lines, to address social, political, and faith issues. She invited the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to her predominantly white church in the Cleveland suburbs in 1965 after King observed that he'd only spoken to black congregations in the area. She recalled in a Religion News Service interview how the civil rights leader spoke to some 3,000 outside after influential members of the Shaker Heights Church opposed his presence inside their building. She was the only woman among more than 200 clergy to process into Cape Town's St. George's Cathedral in the 1986 enthronement service of Desmond Tutu as the Archbishop of the Anglican Church of South Africa. Campbell led a delegation that presented Pope Paul II with a copy of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, first published by the NCC in 1989. She traveled to Belgrade with the Reverend Jesse Jackson of American to negotiate, along with clergy from the Serbian Orthodox Church, the release of American soldiers imprisoned there during the Balkan Wars of the 1990s. Late in her time leading the NCC, she helped negotiate the return of a young boy named Elian Gonzalez to his family in Cuba after he was found floating on an inner tube off the coast of Florida. She also held a closed-door meeting with evangelist Billy Graham, who rarely met alone with a woman, and sometimes created seating issues in contexts where women and men traditionally sit separately. Ordained by three different denominations, the Progressive National Baptist Convention, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and the American Baptist Churches USA, Campbell encouraged other women to be involved in ordained ministry and ecumenism. I think that my own style, which some people took issue with, is not one of trying to make the other side the enemy as much as it is to see what the barriers are and to see if you can climb across those barriers, and then that it will be a major victory and it opens doors for other people, she told RNS. Next, we have Kay Arthur, the popular Christian speaker and host of the Precepts for Life Bible teaching program, died on May 20th at age 91. A former nurse, Arthur began leading Bible studies for teens after she and her husband Jack returned to the U.S. from serving as missionaries in Mexico. She was famous for her Bible studies that involved teaching people to observe, interpret, and apply the truth of Scripture. The Precept Bible study method has been translated into 110 languages and in used in 190 countries. When you know what God says, what He means, and how to put His truths into practice, you will be equipped for every circumstance of life, Arthur was known to have said, according to Precept's announcement of her death. The Precepts for Life program that Arthur hosted from 1999 to 2019 reached more than 75 million households in more than 30 countries, the ministry said. It was named to the National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2011. The program was also twice named Best Bible Teaching Program by the NRB. The author of more than 100 Bible studies and books, Arthur won four Evangelical Christian Publishers Association Gold Medallion Awards. Next listed is Jimmy Swaggart. The televangelist and gospel singer known for controversy in the 1990s died July 1st at age 90. At one time, he was one of the most well-known preachers in the U.S., a Pentecostal with crusades filling stadiums in the 1980s. He came from a musical family that included rock and roll pioneer Jerry Lee Lewis and country star Mickey Gilley, a prolific author, including the book The Expositor's Study Bible. He published the Evangelists magazine for five decades. As Swaggart's fame grew, so did his ministry, gaining a large following on radio and television as it raised $100 million a year. But he also engaged in feuds with rival televangelists Oral Roberts and Jim Baker. Swaggart was accused of trying to take over Baker's ministry, but ended up following Baker in Falls from Grace. Swaggart and Marvin Gorman, a Louisiana evangelist, were involved in dueling suits after Swaggart accused Gorman of sexual misconduct. Gorman hired a private detective to follow Swaggart, who was eventually photographed visiting a New Orleans prostitute. An investigation by the Assemblies of God, which ordained Swaggart, led to a 1988 confession by the minister in front of his congregation at a worship service that was broadcast live. "I have sinned against you," he told those watching and a capacity crowd at Family Worship Center, his Baton Rouge, Louisiana church. "I beg you, forgive me." He was caught again in 1991 with a woman identified as a prostitute during a California stop. Swaggart, whose ministry lost millions due to the scandals, was defrocked by the Assemblies of God. However, he remained active in ministry, preaching in his late 80s and singing as recently as early in 2025 with his church's gospel band. He was among the five inductees in this year's Southern Gospel Hall of Fame. Next listed is Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. The chaplain of Loyola University Chicago men's basketball team, who became an international celebrity, died October 9th at age 106. She had retained her post until her August retirement due to health complications, but remained an advisor at the university in her final months. Schmidt gained fame along with the Loyola Ramblers when the team was considered an underdog in the school's 2018 March Madness run. Video clips from that time showed her applauding from her wheelchair, cheering on her team from the sidelines. The team eventually lost to the University of Michigan. A member of a devout Catholic family, she wrote in her memoir, Wake Up With Purpose, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years, of playing intramural basketball when it was becoming popular for girls and women. She also said she knew by age 10 that she wanted to be a religious sister. She joined the religious order Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary after graduating from high school. She taught for many years at Mundelein College for Women, which was founded by her order in 1930 on Chicago's north side and became part of Loyola Chicago in 1991. Schmidt was inducted into the Loyola Ramblers Athletic Hall of Fame in 2017. On her 103rd birthday, the Chicago train station plaza at Loyola was named after her. The Associated Press reported with a sign that reads, Home of the World Famous Sister Jean. And we've run out of time for this broadcast. This episode of Religion in the News has been read to you. We hope you enjoy it, by Katie Neuhauser. And I am reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Religion in the News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.